Good afternoon and welcome to the Follow Well Company. This is the Ignite Leadership Series podcast. Our special guest today is Dan Nielsen. Dan is a legend. He is the founder, CEO, and publisher of America's Healthcare Leaders, as well as the Dan Nielsen Company and the National Institute for Healthcare Leadership. For 15 years, with vision, commitment, and inspirational leadership, as the CEO of Dallas-Fort Worth Medical Center, Dan built and led a successful, profitable, and growing organization from the ground up. For nearly 15 years, Dan was the lead executive responsible for the national education and networking strategies of VHA, America's largest hospital and healthcare national alliance. During his tenure, 5 years in a row, they were named by Fortune magazine as one of America's best 100 companies to work. He is a professor and faculty member at four different universities and medical schools. He is a national keynote speaker, trainer, facilitator, and writer. Dan's books include Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower, and Presidential Leadership, Learning from United States Presidential Libraries and Museums. Let's welcome to the podcast my friend and mentor, Dan Nielsen.
Rob, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very honored. I want to thank you again for the excellent job you did at the Becker's Healthcare Conference as a panelist. You really did a good job. People thoroughly enjoyed it. Your sincerity, your transparency, it just all came through. And of course, following that, we became friends, took a taxi to O'Hare, had a chance to talk. I'm honored to be your friend. I admire what you do both personally and professionally and how you serve others. And it's just an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Dan. You know, in the introduction, I somewhat gave your bio, but I didn't talk a lot about your family or your hobbies. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself from that perspective?
Well, in terms of family, I'm married. I have a son who is an attorney, and I expect him to take care of me when I get old and senile. Some people say I'm already there, but we won't go there. But he's an attorney in Corpus Christi, Texas, and has two children, which are my grandchildren. And I have a daughter who teaches at UTD, University of Texas at Dallas. She teaches photography and internet kind of things, dealing with all of that. So she's a professor there. My wife is an interior designer, is very, very good at that. She loves it. You know, if you really have a passion for something, you really enjoy it, typically you are very good at it. And certainly she's a great example of that. In terms of hobbies, I love to read. I love to study. Believe it or not, I love to memorize. I've got a funny story on that that if we have time, if you want to come back, I'll tell it. It's only a couple minutes, but it's very funny.
Love to hear it.
Well, I just stopped and tell you right now. So I'm working for VHA at the time, Voluntary Hospitals of America, now called Vizient. And we had a meeting. About six people came from various parts of the country to meet with me. I was in charge of all the education and networking on a corporate level all across the United States for VHA. And so these people all showed up, and I walked in the room. They were waiting on me. And one of them that knows me well says, "Dan, what have you memorized lately?" Because he knows I memorized all kinds of inspirational literature. I'm talking like a page or two or three pages at a time. And there's this big fellow sitting over in the corner, hadn't met him before. And he's sitting there and he's kind of frowning and looking at me or whatever. And he raised his hand and he said, "Dan, you don't know me. My name's Mike Dewey. You memorize as a hobby? Man, you need to get a life." And, you know, where he was coming from, probably his memories of Sunday school or grade school or whatever, where you have to memorize this stuff. And a lot of people don't enjoy that, but I do. So I love to read, study, memorize, into photography big time. One of my hobbies, I have a motorhome. I call it my inspirational vehicle. And I've traveled America for the last 15 or 20 years, taken over 250,000 photographs.
Wow.
All over America. I have every one of those, by the way, saved on, you know, on drives, that from North Maine to Key West, Florida, from north of Seattle to South San Diego and all parts in between. So I have a lot of hobbies, and that goes into one thing that your listeners might be interested in. I'm also very passionate about America. With all of our problems, I'm glad to live in America, and I want to live in America for the rest of my life.
Amen.
I think it's the greatest country in the world. Others may disagree. A lot of people are really concerned right now and with politics, et cetera. but I'm a patriot. And with all the bad, we have much more good.
I'm with you, my friend.
So I was visiting some presidential libraries, and I visited four or five of them. Now, a presidential library, as soon as the president comes out of office, the second he or she someday leaves office, all of the documents, all of the stuff that's been generated becomes ours, American citizens. And so back when FDR was in office, his staff came to him and said, you know, people retire, presidents retire. Of course, this is a whole other generation, way, way back. If they retire, they put their papers in their mother-in-law's closet or basement or somewhere, and 50 years later, it's gone. We've lost all of that history. And so Congress passed a law that says when the president leaves, he or she again someday raises the money for the Presidential Library and Museum that's built, and that becomes the archive, a part of the National Archives, but it becomes the archive, the storage place, if you will, for everything basically that happened, all the documents, now all the digital information, all the videos, everything that went on is stored in that library. So I've gone to two or three of these, LBJ and several others, and one day I was going through one, and I thought, you know, I'm all about leadership. I love to learn. I love to study, and I'm a patriot. I love to learn more about America, and so I decided to write a book. The name of the book is called Presidential Leadership, Learning from United States Presidential Libraries and Museums. And real quickly, what I did is I went to every single presidential library and museum that's run by the National Archives in the United States. I got permission from the National Archives to go in and take pictures inside and out. I took about 16,000 pictures in total. Now, the book is not a picture book, but there's pictures of there's like 10 to 15 pictures of every presidential library and museum in America. So basically, the book is me taking you on a tour of each of these presidential libraries and museums. Politics is never mentioned. I've had people read the book trying to figure out if I'm conservative or liberal or Republican, Democrat, whatever. And you cannot figure it out because I was very intentional in not making this a political book. The thesis of the book is we all have strengths. We all have a few strengths. We all have many weaknesses. My philosophy is forget about your weaknesses unless it's a fatal flaw. Focus on your strengths. Leverage the 5 to 7 strengths that are the greatest strengths in your life. That's how people become successful in any area of life, whether it's a minister, a hospital CEO like I was, or any area of life. You want to be successful, leverage your strengths. Basically, forget about your weaknesses. I tell people, you don't have enough time to worry about your weaknesses. You have so many weaknesses, and so do I, that your life will be over before you ever overcome all of those. So forget about it. Focus on your strengths. So in each chapter, there's a chapter on that presidential library museum. There's 3 to 4 strengths that I focus from that president based on the time that he was in office. And then I have some quotes, favorite quotes of mine from each president. There's the pictures in there. There's some other things. It's very easy to read. It's sort of entertaining. Anybody that likes history, likes American history, or just wants to learn more about that period of time, it's a wonderful book. I'll say one other thing. People always ask me my favorite, ask me all kinds of other questions because I present on this. And, you know, I'll show pictures up on a great big huge screen, depending on how many people are there, of each of the presidential libraries and museums. I tell people, forget about your politics. Leave your politics at the door. Go into these presidential libraries and museums and learn what happened during that period of American history. Whether you like it or not, you can learn from it. So that's the thesis of that book. And that's one thing that came from my hobbies. So that's probably enough about hobbies, unless you want to ask any other direct questions.
Oh, I think that's fascinating. If folks want to pick up that book, what's the best way for them to get that?
You can get it on Amazon, of course. Again, the title is Presidential Leadership, Learning from United States Presidential Libraries and Museums. I'm obviously the author, Dan Nielsen. Since you asked that question, I'll do something for you and for your listeners if they have interest. And you can handle this. I didn't set this up ahead of time, so you tell me afterward how to do it. I did an ebook that has interesting quotes from this book, all the different presidents, lots of the quotes that I use, some of which I wrote, et cetera, and it's an ebook. I'd be happy to give that digitally to you so that you can give it to your readers, or, you know, what, I don't know, they could contact me, of course. Don't know the best method. We can work that out, but I'd be happy to give that to you, Rob, and to those who follow you.
That's fantastic. We'll set that up, Dan. I appreciate that. Listen, Dan, you've had a very successful career that's included healthcare executive, speaker, author, instructor, entrepreneur, historian. What's brought you the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment over your career?
I would say, to me, you know, success is different, right, for each of us.
So right.
Some people's success is making money, having money, and I'm certainly not against money. Money allows me to do what I do now with total freedom. So I'm not against money, but different people have different ideas of success. For me, I've always loved to serve people. I grew up in a church. My dad was a minister for a while, but we grew up in a church, and I don't need to go into the name or whatever, because that's not important here. But I very much grew up in an atmosphere of serving others. And so to me, the greatest satisfaction is serving others. And what really makes me happy is, even at my age, I have people that I haven't heard from for 20 or 25 years, even a little bit more than that in a few cases, contact me, say, Dan, remember me? We worked together, you know, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if you'd be a reference for me. I've applied for a new position, and you knew me well, you know me well, you know my values, you know, et cetera. Would you be a reference? And I always say, absolutely, would love to do that. Catch up with them a little bit so that I can be current. But I then have the opportunity to say true things about that individual to a prospective employer or whatever, and serve both the prospective employer and my friend or my colleague by helping them. When I get done with one of those, I think that's probably one of the happiest times of my life. I absolutely love that. The other thing I love is that I walk a lot at my stage in life. One of my mottos is keep moving. And I walk a lot in the gym. And while I'm walking in a gym, I am either listening to books on my iPhone, having my iPhone read to me. A lot of people don't know that your iPhone will read to you. It will. Or you can use Audible or whatever. Or I'm thinking about my next book. I wrote a book called Be an Inspirational Leader. Engage, inspire, empower. Basically, all of it was done, the thought process and the words, which then I worked on later to smooth it out, edit it, et cetera, for publication. That was all done while I was walking. That's another time of my day that I absolutely love. I close off the rest of the world. I can walk for an hour or more and not even realize I'm walking because my mind is so engrossed in what I'm listening to from experts all across the world, or trying to do my part to serve those who follow me and who I'm honored to serve by writing and publishing.
Fantastic. In fact, you talked about that on your LinkedIn not long ago. You put a poll out there as to how they fall into their thinking modes. And I shared with you, mine is running or riding on the tractor. So, yeah, walking's a great way.
Yeah. There were some really unique answers, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
One lady said that she does her best thinking while she's out feeding the chickens at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. I thought, wow.
Yes. Well, you know, Dan, all of us, and I ask this question of everybody, all of us have those times in life and in our career where we don't live up to either our own expectations or those of others. And sometimes, oftentimes, these are our greatest times of learning and growth. Can you tell us about a time where you didn't live up to the expectations that you set for yourself or those of others, and then what you learned from that and how you grew from it?
Well, do you have about 12 or 15 hours? I'll tell you what, I'm a great example of a person who has a few strengths and many, many weaknesses, failures, disappointments. But somehow, some way, and I hope this is okay to say on your podcast, but with the grace of God and with the support of family and colleagues, I've made it through and done exceedingly well. In fact, when I think back to a poor kid growing up in a small town in Alliance, Nebraska, where we basically lived literally from payday to payday, In fact, when I was in high school, I started doing better. I wasn't a good student in grade school and junior high. In high school, I was doing better. And my mom was smart enough to see that I loved milk. But we didn't have, excuse me, I tear up sometimes. By the way, I have a soft heart, and I don't apologize for it. Ever,
no need.
Ever. So my mom knew that I loved milk, but we couldn't afford a lot of milk. Got like one glass a meal or whatever. So if I brought home an egg, I got a milk. And I can remember sitting down with my quart of milk and just absolutely relishing in the pleasure of drinking that whole quart of milk over a period of 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, or saving some for later. Now, that wasn't a failure and didn't address your question. That just came out as a result of the story I was telling you. But I did not do well in school except for in high school, and frankly had a difficult upbringing, not in terms of love and support from my family, but economically we didn't have a car until I was a junior in high school, on and on. And so I resolved that I wanted to do well and, you know, make good money, et cetera, et cetera. And I've had plenty of, you know, obstacles along the way. But the end result is that I'm retired. There's nothing, you know, there's no security in life except eternal.
Yes.
But if you would see my bank statement, my 401k and this, that, and the other thing, got into real estate, started buying lots of houses when I was in my 30s, when I was a hospital CEO. I've always made good money, but I spend far less than I make. So I had excellent credit, started buying real estate. That's all paid for 100% now. And so I find myself in a completely different situation than I grew up in. And it was basically because, you know, I serve others. I stay positive as much as possible. I have my down days and my down time, but I read good inspirational literature. I try to improve consistently. I meet people and become friends with people like you and other very successful people. You know, they say if you want to see who you really are, you're probably the average of the five of your best friends.
Yes.
In other words, those you hang around with, spend a lot of time with, you become like those people. So I intentionally try to find people like you and others at Becker's Health Conference and speaking around the country, et cetera, et cetera. And they have helped lift me up. I'm incredibly blessed. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah,
but that's
it sure did.
Top of mind.
And I couldn't agree more with you. You know, most of us are shaped by, and we owe a debt of gratitude to a very few, oftentimes, key mentors in our lives. Do you have mentors like that? And what lessons did you learn from them?
Absolutely. I have blessed to have mentors. In my book, Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower, I dedicated this book to two people. One was a minister when I was in college. He took an interest in me, started playing ping pong with me. I've always kind of been in sports. I'm quick, and I was a track runner and a basketball player. I'm not saying I was very good, but, you know, I played all that through high school and college. And he took a liking to me, and I learned from him, by the way, one of the ways to get close to people is to figure out what they're interested in and then engage them in that area. And that's exactly what he did. And so over time, I joined his church, and he became a very crucial mentor to me, not only spiritually, but in the way he handled his work, the way he ran the church, led the church, et cetera. So Talmage Johnson, Dr. Talmage Johnson is his name. He's still alive. He's in his 80s and just a wonderful man, lives in Nashville, Tennessee. One other that I'll mention, a gentleman by the name of Max Copham. Max was my first boss as far as healthcare is concerned. I went to Washington University School of Medicine, got an MHA, Master's of Health Administration, did an administrative residency at St. Luke's Methodist Hospital in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My first job ended up being with Max Copham in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, which is way up in the panhandle, very close to Wyoming. The greatest blessing probably of my life. Max was a wonderful person, was a CPA, just happened to fall into this job. In fact, he started the hospital himself. I don't have time to go into detail, but he was incredible to me. And the book, Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower, was all and is all about what Max not only told me and taught me, but lived in front of me. and mentored me and coached me. So I dedicated the book to him because of all the people in my entire life, from a secular standpoint, from a career standpoint, he had the biggest positive effect on my life. There's a couple of pages in the front of the book about Max, who just died a few months ago. And he was just wonderful.
Wow. You know, our stories are so similar. My next question, I'm going to answer it for myself beforehand and in a different way. You know, listening to you talk and spending time with you. So the question that I'm going to ask is, if you had the opportunity to give advice to a younger Dan Nielsen, what advice would you give them? And I can tell you this, that if I had the opportunity, I would say be just like Dan. As I look at where you are such an inspiration to me and always have been. So if you had the opportunity to give a younger Dan advice, what would you give?
You know, I guess I would, I'm thinking as I'm talking, there's all kinds of different ideas going through my mind. Typically, you know, do what you love, do what you have a great passion for, identify your strengths, leverage your strengths, et cetera. But I think I would probably say, to answer your question directly, what comes to my mind is to begin with the end in mind. Stephen Covey, the book that he wrote, begin with the end in mind. At my stage of life, I look back and there's certainly some things I would change, although I've been blessed beyond measure. Very little I would probably change, other than some real dumb things that I've done along the way. But begin with the end in mind. You know, if you're bound and determined to be rich in terms of money or whatever, I guess that's okay. But when you get to be my age, and particularly if you're in a position like I'm in financially, where I'm not rich, but I don't need to work another day in my life, and, you know, on and on and on. So money becomes less and less important. I would say don't compete with other people. I know that's hard to do when you're in the workplace. You look at somebody else and they got a promotion, or they're doing this or that, they're doing that. And, you know, don't compete with people, collaborate with people and learn from people. You know, so be a servant leader. Keep your focus on serving others. If Zig Ziglar, I don't know if I'll get the quote right, Zig Ziglar said, "You can have anything you want if you will help enough other people get what they want." Rob, that is powerful. I'm sure most of the people that follow you have heard and read that quote. That is so powerful because it is absolutely true.
Yes, it
is. I'm right now writing a book on engagement, engaging other people. The book I just mentioned, Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower, talked a lot about engagement, but I'm going to write another book has to do with just engagement, engaging others, and the incredible positive results that come from engaging others in each and every area of our lives. And the reason the Zig Ziglar quote popped in my mind is that I'm using that in that book. Engage others, help other people get what they want. And by doing so, you will get what is most important in your life.
So right. Do you have some favorite quotes? I see quotes from you every single day on LinkedIn. Do you have a favorite quote?
Well, I'll do some short ones. I could quote two pages of something that all of your listeners would go to sleep. By the way, when I speak around the country, I'm very energetic and I keep moving and talking to people, but I do that. I quote some longer passages and people just love it for a lot of reasons, including the fact that people don't take time to memorize anymore. So that's kind of sets me apart in terms of the speaking I do, et cetera. But a couple real short quotes that I use all the time. One is, I love this: if it's to be, it's up to me. That's it. If it's to be, it's up to me. Now, I've had some people say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, God determines this and other people determine that or whatever. I'm not anti-God or anti-religious or ignorant of spiritual things and, you know, the way the world turns. But basically in life, if it's to be, it's up to me. I have to get off my fanny and go do something if I want it. And if I get off my fanny, and if I approach it correctly, and if I'm serving others, And if they're being helped by me, then everything falls in place. So that's one. If it's to be, it's up to me. Another would be the future belongs to those who prepare for it. That is so short, so logical, of course. But think about it on a daily basis. So many people don't do that. What is it? Two-thirds of all people in the richest country in the world, America, two-thirds or so, don't have enough money to last more than one paycheck. 50 or 60% of the people that are at retirement age don't have any assets. They're totally at the mercy of Social Security or assistance of some kind. Now, those are money examples, and I'm not trying to put a lot of emphasis on money. But what I am saying is you have to prepare if you want to have the kind of future that you want to have. So it is true. The future belongs to those who prepare for it. That goes along with saying the information I just gave you a minute ago about thinking about the end game,
yes.
You know, the long term. If I've done anything right, Rob, one of the things that I've had is a focus on the long term. I don't need the fanciest car. As a hospital CEO, I used to, you know, all of the docs that were my friends, we recruited 170 doctors at the hospital that I started. By the way, I was the first employee. We had no land, no building, no money, no nurses, no staff, no nothing.
Just vision.
Just me, Dan Nielsen. I was hired by a group of people who must have gone out and had a drink the night before or something. They hired this kid 30 years old called Dan Nielsen and turned me loose to lead that effort. We built a hospital from scratch. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I don't need the newest car. I don't need the biggest house. I had lots of doctors, and I love doctors, but a lot of them are terrible business people. They live in a bigger and a bigger and a bigger house, and they have horses for their kids, and they have all this other stuff. You know, you need to prepare for the future and think about the end game and what's important to you. Back to, again, don't compete with others. Be yourself. First, figure out who you are. Know yourself. Know your values. Know your mission. Know your passions. Know your strengths. And then go about utilizing those things to serve others, and you will be A-okay.
I couldn't agree more. Well, Dan, you talked about healthcare. You talked about the first hospital. Things have changed just a little bit since then. And
so I've heard.
Healthcare is changing radically, as you know. What do you see? What do you imagine healthcare looking like in 10 more years?
That's a great question. I try to focus, my particular area of interest is in sharing information and helping people build the foundation, the things that won't change, you know, the foundational building blocks of a career, of a successful career, of a successful life. So I spend a lot of my time there, and I interview CEOs all across America. It's available on americashealthcareleaders.com. If people are interested, you can go hear Chris Van Gorder, CEO of Scripps Health, or all these other people. I could name drop, but I won't. But when I listen to them, like you, I realize how much healthcare is changing. I think it's going to be more and more outpatient for sure. No question about it. Maybe not even outpatient, more in-home. And it's going to be digitally driven. You know, people would have absolutely laughed you out of the room if you would have said 10, 15, 20 years ago that total hips, total knees, et cetera, will be done in outpatient surgery centers. It's being done now.
Yes, it is.
With the digital capabilities and the exponential growth in that area, not only of, you know, mechanically and digitally what can be done, but just the research, the new understandings, the innovation, the inventions. You know, we're going to be walking around providing all kinds of information on a daily or hourly or even minute by minute on our health. So the ramifications there, I think, are unbelievable. I think that's the huge, big tide that's coming in that will sweep away a lot of things that we take for granted today, because it's going to be a whole new world. Now, I know I'm answering your question generally. People will still be humans, at least for the next 10 or 50 years or so. I'm just kidding. People will continue to be humans. Some things won't change. Transplants will become commonplace. It just goes on and on. A radical, radical change from somebody else being responsible to try to get me well after I've smoked for 60 years, or I've, you know, been an addict, or I've been this, or I've abused my body, I've, you know, overeaten, whatever, lifestyle things. And then depending on and expecting the healthcare system to come in and not only fix me, but somebody else pay for fixing me, and for fixing me because I got this way because of my choices. I think a lot of that is going
to
change.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it needs to change.
Yes, it does. Personal accountability is so incredibly important. If someone would take the time to go back and listen to what I've said, if it's worth listening to again, throughout everything I've said, personal accountability comes through loud and clear.
Well, Dan, what do you see the next chapter of your life looking like?
Well, you know, I mentioned that I invest in real estate. Maybe I should buy a nursing home. How about that?
I like it.
Buy a nursing home. Hey, I'm a former hospital CEO. I'm a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives. Supposedly, I have the credentials to run a place like that.
I'd say
so. Why not just buy a nursing home, or maybe even a chain of them? Because I'm, once I get into something, I'm a go-getter. You know, if it's to be, it's up to me.
That's right.
I make things happen. So maybe I'll buy a chain of nursing homes. Just kidding. I'm trying to stay healthy. My dad lived to be 97 years old. He died at home on hospice with no pain. Is that a success story or what?
That's what we all strive for there.
Yeah, right. So I want to remain healthy and continue to do what I'm doing, serve others, hopefully make a little bit of a difference. I don't have some grandiose, over-the-top estimation of my contribution. I'm one person doing what I love to do, maybe some talents and, you know, strengths that God gave me to try to make the world a better place in terms of those people that I come in contact with. I intend to do that until the day I die, or they do put me in a nursing home, or I don't know, Alzheimer's comes along or something, but I don't intend to change one bit. I'm going to continue to do what I do. I can't imagine retiring. By the way, I didn't tell you this. I retired for 7 months after I left VHA, now Vizient. And I had my motorhome, call it my inspirational vehicle, as I said earlier. I started traveling around the country. And it was fun for a while, but day after day after day, even though I have a beautiful motorhome and was traveling all around the country, just day after day without breaks. You know, I love vacations, but I also want something else to do. So after 7 months, I said, enough of this. I'm going to go back and follow my heart and serve people in other ways. I still have the motorhome. I still travel a lot. I still do a lot of photography. But for me, I've got to have something that I'm doing. I've got to be engaged.
Good for you, Dan. You're my inspiration on that. Well, listen, Dan, any closing thoughts or leadership lessons that you want to share with our podcast audience that we haven't talked about already?
I don't think so. You know, I have my experiences and have been reasonably successful. Some people would say very, very successful. If you want to learn more about presidential libraries and about life and success, the Presidential Leadership book is a great book to read. It's very entertaining and just all kinds of great information. Be an inspirational leader, engage, inspire, empower. Further, you know, develops my thoughts, my way of leading, and, you know, what I believe is important. The next book that's coming out on engaging other people, I think, will also help people realize. I mean, we all intellectually know that engaging other people is important, but we don't do enough of it, including me. You know, life is so short. You will not overcome all of your weaknesses. You can't read every book. You can't learn everything. So make contact and engage other people who've had other experiences that you can partner with. And together, you can make far bigger difference than just by yourself.
Fantastic, Dan. Well, I know everybody is going to appreciate what they've heard from you today. Outside of your books, what's the best way for somebody to communicate with you if they wanted to?
If they want to join me on LinkedIn, I've got almost 27,000 people that I'm directly one-on-one connected with on LinkedIn. It's Dan Nielsen. FACHE, that's Fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, Dan Nielsen. By the way, Nielsen is spelled N-I-E-L-S-E-N. Most people misspell it. It's Danish. My dad was born in Copenhagen, Denmark. So LinkedIn is fine. AmericasHealthcareLeaders.com is free. And I publish articles and interviews that I do around the country there. I have a website called DanNielsen.com. Other articles and information I publish there. So, and lastly, my email address, I'll just put it out there. It's dan@dannielsen.com. Again, be sure to spell Nielsen correctly. dan@dannielsen.com. Be happy to hear from people and help where I can.
Thank you, Dan. I know they're going to love this book. If you're interested in receiving the free electronic copy of the selected quotes that Dan mentioned from his book, Be an Inspirational Leader, Engage, Inspire, Empower, simply complete the contact page on our website and in the message section, put Dan Nielsen ebook and we'll send you the link. Dan, I want to thank you again for your offer and I want to thank you for being on the podcast today. This is Rob Followell for the Followell Company and the Ignite Leadership Series saying, make it a great day.